Yaakov Avinu said to the Shvatim, to the brothers, Kulachem is Mirat Haaretz. Take for yourselves from the song of the land, from the best of the land, the bestest, as they were going down, they're going down to Mitzrayim, they're going down to Egypt, and he tells them, you should bring an offering to the Tsar, to the premier of Egypt, who was Yosef, they didn't know that yet. And you should go and you should take from the Zmirat Haaretz, from the song of the land, also from the best of the land. Take from the best fruits of Eretz Yisrael, but also take from the songs of Eretz Yisrael. So in just a moment, Ben is going to sing a song by both Naomi Shemer and Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, that Naomi Shemer took together a lot of different quotes from Rabbi Nachman about the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, and really how there's a soul and a song to every blade of grass, to every shepherd, to all of nature. We just experienced Shabbat Shira, Parshas B'Shalach, where we sang the song of the sea. And Tu B'Shvat always comes out right after B'Shalach, because we're listening to the song of the entire world. When we'll make the brachas as we're eating the food, we'll talk about more about what that avoda, what that specific divine service is after the song, but we're listening to the song of all creation. We're absorbing, we're connecting with the song of creation. We'll talk more about the importance of that, but first let's sing the song, and then we'll learn a little bit more. Making brachos on Tu B'Shvat. Why do we do it? What is Tu B'Shvat? So we got to go back to the beginning. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that there are four Rosh Hashanahs, and one of them is either Rosh Chodesh Shvat, the first day of this month, or the 15th day of this month. It's the Machlokas, Beis Hillel, and Beis Shammai. Which one is it? It's a discussion for another time. But today is the Rosh Hashanah for trees. Why do trees need a Rosh Hashanah? Because we have many mitzvos that depend on how old the tree is. We have many, many, many mitzvos that depend on how old the tree is. We don't eat a tree, we don't eat fruit from a tree which is younger than 4 years old, 5 years old. That's called orla. We also, depending on the year, where we're going to give donations of our fruits is it to a Levi? Is it to a poor person? Do I have to bring it to Yerushalayim? Lots of laws that depend on the age of a tree. Lots and lots. And the Gemara tells us that at this point during the year, this point in the land of Israel, the rainy season of Israel has already come to its halfway point. And the sap is beginning now to rise in the tree. The tree has exhausted last year's supply and now is living up for sure on the waters of this year. At this point in Israel, Yehuda Hartman just told me that we don't see it in America so much. But in Israel, all of his trees are starting to bud. If not today, within the next week, he said. He lives in Modi'in, that they all start to bud, they start to blossom right here, right now. It's a new year for the trees. You know, the biggest problem happened was when mankind, Adam HaRishon, pulled the fruit from the tree and separated between the tree and the fruit. He took the fruit from the tree, and that was the beginning of the end, the beginning of gracious, whatever that means. But he didn't follow the Rabbanu Shalom's command. He said, don't take from this tree, and he did, and he ate it. And that was a downfall of mankind, and we've been remedying those tzaras ever since. So the Talmid Arizal writes, so what do? On Tu B'Shvat, we return the trees to the fruit. We return the trees to the fruit because when we look at whatever we're eating, we don't always remember, we don't always think about where it is that we came from. I mean, how does anybody drink milk otherwise? You don't really think about what it is that you're eating. So that's what gives you the ability to eat it. We separate between product and process. We pull the fruit from the tree. Tree, of course, means process, and fruit means product. When we make a bracha, anytime we make a bracha, we connect things back with its source. We connect back to the source. Every time we make a bracha, explicitly, that's what we do. That's what the avodah is. It reminds us that, you know, the food in our refrigerator, we remind our teenagers all the time, the food in the refrigerator didn't just get there. Someone had to buy it, right? Everything that was there, it came from someplace. Someone had to buy it. And not only someone had to buy it, someone had to produce it. Somebody had to produce it. Somebody had to grow it. Somebody had to harvest it. Somebody had to seed it at the beginning. We stand at the end of a process. And if we don't remember, we don't remind ourselves, if we're not mindful of where things come from, we lose it. We lose the sense. That was the biggest downfall of man, that we forgot where we came from. Baal Shem Tov teaches us that forgetting is exile and remembering is redemption. When we can remember, we can connect back. And it's an incredibly powerful message. So on Tu B'Shvat, we bring the fruit back to the trees by making the blessings, by making the brachas. Each one of the fruits, we make a bracha, and we connect it back. We connect the taste. We connect the hanata of the palate, the pressure, the texture. That's what I was looking for, the texture of the food. We connect all of it when we consume the fruit, when we make a bracha. And that's how we begin the repair of the world. And that's what we do on this day of the new year of the trees. Same way that on our own new year, we hear the essence of a person's heart, we blow a shofar, just a raw, unfettered voice that comes from the depths of one's heart. There's absolutely no modulation, or there's very little modulation of the teeth. It's only the vibration of the lips. Mostly it's just the air. Mostly it's just the air pushing its way through without any modification. It's just an exposure to the rawness of the soul. On the Rosh Hashanah for the trees, we experience the essence and the taste of the trees. And then the fruits, and then further to the toll of nature. So I'm going to make a bracha now, and we'll answer our main Emet session, and then we'll sing a little bit more, and we'll talk a little bit more about eating and fruits and trees in the land of Israel.
Shkoyach ben Yavin.
Going to now make a Bori Pri Adama, the Captain Allen, so that's what it would be. Baruch Atah Adonai, Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Borei Pri Ha'Adama. Adama, it's interesting that when we think about it, the reason why man called Cain Ben Adam, as referred to at the beginning of Bereshit and all throughout Yechezkel, Ben Adam, child of mankind. Adam has two capacities. One is Adam because he's taken from the Adama. He's taken from the earth. Mankind is taken from the earth and returns to the earth. But then, Chaim Vital revealed as well that Adam also means Adame le'elyon. At the same time, we can enlighten ourselves to the one above. Man is comprised of both the earthiness and the spirit at the same time. Or at the same time, just a bunch of carbon, and at the same time also life force energy that transcends that's above. What's the difference? Well, part of the difference is really in the perspective. The Gemara in Sota says that from the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the fruits lost their taste. Could no longer taste the true sweetness of all the fruits. And then, furthermore, for the most part, unless something is really, really strong, we also generally don't taste very much at all as we eat. Catch little glimpses. anyone's ever had the experience of eating mindfully, of taking a piece of food, putting it in your mouth, and beginning to chew on it, instead of just like gulp, gulping it down, but chewing on it, and letting it finally be pulverized by your teeth, letting it move around from the front of your taste buds, of your tongue, to well to the back of your taste buds, to the back of your mouth, until you finally eat it, you'll be shocked the amount of taste which is there. My group in Brooklyn College once we deal with chocolate chips. We had one chocolate chip and had each person proceed to eat it for a good minute or so, the chocolate chips that we normally gobble down. People say, oh my gosh, I never realized there's so much chocolate in this chocolate chip. But it's our distraction from even what our senses are picking up. That's what takes us away from the experience. From the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, to begin with, to become talud, to become distracted. The Beis HaMikdash is also that one focal point, that place that we come back to, the sense that, you know, to focus ourselves. As part of the mitzvah, we spoke about the Maaseh Sheni, that some of your food has been taken and eaten in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a place that we go to refocus ourselves. Yerushalayim is a place that we're commanded three times a year to go back, to pay attention once again, to learn to focus, to learn to concentrate. Since we can't make brachas on all the fruits over and over and over again, because of we're careful not to say Hashem's name needlessly. So I wanted just to share with you a date. The date, we're told fascinatingly by the Midrash Shir HaShirim, is that the day Palm only has one heart. Nechama, wherever she is right now, loves to eat the hearts of Palm. The one heart in the middle of the tree, a tree grows, leaves on top of leaves on top of leaves. If anyone who lives in Florida, and you see like when the tree sprouts a new branch, it looks like a lulu, because it is a lulu. That's what we do, trade secret. We go, but they go in Israel. And now they go in Egypt, and they have the Delia rule of them, and they go and they cut that shoot up, and that entire shoot is the lula until it opens up. But the Midrash says that the tamar, that the date tree has one heart. It says just like the Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people have one heart for their Father in heaven. That despite everything that might come about around them, there's only one heart. Like deep in the heart of each person. Just checking for God, hold on. But when we have a date, when we have a tamar, we have something to think about. And as we're returning each fruit to its tree, as we're involved in the process of connecting each fruit, as we eat it mindfully, you know, we remind ourselves what it means to concentrate and to have undivided attention. It would be undivided attention if we could shut off the cell phone for a moment. You know, said, just pay attention. It's a fascinating thing. You wouldn't believe, you know, when we're in exile from ourselves, so it's the same thing with the exile from the Beis HaMikdash. You know, all the fruits lose their taste. When we're not focusing, try it. Have an experiment as you're eating right now. Keep the food in your mouth a little longer than you normally would. Just a little bit. Just try a little bit. You'll see how much more flavor there is in that food. Losing the flavor, life losing its flavor, as one of my favorite 90s songs to quote, what makes my life roll her eyes, is how on earth did I get so jaded? Life's mystery seems so faded. That we lose the mysteriousness of life, mostly from our fleeing from the present, from our presence. Once we can bring ourselves back to that, it brings us just another step closer to redemption. The
fantastic. We would eat like this all the time. I think it's bread, right? But also all the food would taste so much more.
One more experience is I'll think of Rimonim again. I wish I could make another bracha, but I made it a word for that.
The pomegranate does not have 613 seeds. It's a conflating of a midrash that people get confused with. The pomegranate, it says, Kafela harimon rakaseif, that your lips are like a bed of a pomegranate. And the midrash says, Al tikra rakaseif, ela rekaseif. Don't say the red of the pomegranate, the rind of the pomegranate. Let us say your empty ones. Your empty ones are like a pomegranate. How are they like a pomegranate? That even if you look at somebody, you say, who is this person? Well, what merit do they have? Each person, you don't understand the mystery that each person really is filled with merits, that the pomegranate is filled with seeds. It's filled with merits, that the pomegranate is filled with seeds. So we take a pomegranate seed, and we look at it, and we imagine what the inside of pomegranate looks like. It's filled with seeds. It's filled with seeds. And you say, wow, that I have to understand and believe that each person has so many good points. In DBT, dialectical behavioral therapy, Marshall Linehan says that part of what we need to reinforce in our belief in people is that everyone's really trying the best they can. Most people are not sociopaths. Everyone's lying, but most people are not sociopaths. Most people just trying to do the best they can. And the person who just did something not nice to you is usually just having a bad day. They're also just trying to do the best they can, just like you're trying to do the best they can. That's not a license to be a pushover. It's not a license to let people be nasty. But at the same time, to understand, after the emotion, the first bout of emotion has passed, remind myself, people are full of merits. Everyone has their good, but they're really just trying the best they can. We have this pomegranate seed. You take it again, eat it mindfully. As you press down on the seed and let the juice squirt into your mouth and hopefully not into your shirt, they stain something wicked. But to take it, to eat a little bit and remind ourselves, also in that same way, people are filled with merit. Everybody's just doing the best they can. And to hope and to pray that people try to think the same thing about me. Everybody should try to think, to try to think that towards everybody. They should think it towards me also. We're just trying to do the best we can. Life is tough, life is a challenge. We're all just trying to do the best we can. And Chizbarko should look and see that we're all just trying. We're all so filled with merits. The pomegranate is filled with seeds. Not that there are 613 seeds in a pomegranate, but each person is filled with merits. Let's sing a little bit more, and then we'll get into the beverages on the table.
The
beverages.
Sure, go for it.
So we're going to say the Baruch Bori Priya Gafen. And the Baruch Bori Priya Gafen is funny because I just ate a grape. But I'm going to say Bori Priya Gafen. I remember the first time I was running a birthright trip, and they do a wine tasting. The only time staff members are allowed to drink on a birthright trip is when you go to the winery. Drinking age in Israel is 18, so all the participants have to be 18 so they can drink. But the staff members have to really not drink anything the entire time. They need to be responsible because anything does and can happen on a birthright trip. But you can have a little you can have an eighth, a ninth of a cup of each different type of wine. When you go to the winery. I remember the first time that they taught us about drinking wine, really about appreciating wine with the bouquet and swirling it in the glass and smelling it and experiencing the different levels. And then suddenly I really understood when Chazal referred to wine has the numerical value of 70, as does the word sod. And the Gemara says the wine is connected very deeply to Sod. And in fact, they refer to the secrets of Torah as Yena Shel Torah. The secrets of Torah, the mystical portion of Torah, is called the wine of Torah. It's a very funny expression. And why would wisdom be connected with wine? But then, you know, besides that, it wasn't the first time I drank wine. It was just the first time I experienced the different layers. Besides just the alcoholic buzz, the intoxication of wine, there's different layers to the flavor of each wine as well. If, you know, you have the chocolate chip, and the chocolate chip is a lot more chocolate than you're used to when you drink it mindfully. When you drink wine mindfully, again, not just firing it back, but really taking time to appreciate, you notice that there are different levels. And then all of a sudden, when you read the back of the bottle, Levy, my son, likes to say, well, you know, the stuff they write on the back, it'll taste the same. What are you talking about? So no. If you listen carefully, if you taste very carefully, you'll notice that there are different levels, that there are hints of different flavors that are present there. But you need to drink it mindfully. Again, just firing it back, it's not a sophisticated appreciation. And even they gave us the option at the winery to spit the wine into another cup after you tasted it. Because the point was only tasting and not drinking. I said, well, what's the point of that? But that's a waste of good wine at that point. But to appreciate the nature of Nichnas Yayin Yatzas Sod, to experience the mystery, you understand the depths that are there, and then also the intoxication and the freedom that comes on its heels, one understands the idea of four cups of wine on Pesach. The idea is not a frat party where you're just trying to drink as much as you can so that you don't remember what's going on. Adrabah, it's actually the other way around. You're drinking to remember. You're not drinking to forget. Much like the Hotel California, but they were dancing to remember, dancing to forget. We drink to remember. That's why we make kiddush on a glass of wine also. The come what might, the Ishbitzer says that normally, you know, when you conquer something, the way of the world is to step on it, to put it down. When Jews conquer something, we lift it up. So it says, come what may, I can take wine and it's not going to make me forget that there's a creator of the world, or forget that that he created the world in 7 days, forget that he has a hand in the historical process. But I'm going to only remember. I'm going to remember in a deeper way. So that's part of the secret of wine. And there are those who say that the fruit of the tree of knowledge was indeed grapes. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech olam, borei pri hagafen. If you drink this wine mindfully again, you know that there's that, no other word, but the word flowery comes up. It's like really that it really does have a flowery taste at the end. It's a fantastic thing. Exactly. One more, we're going to split because unfortunately we didn't have any actual grain. The sushi rice is technically not a grain, but at least in halacha it is a grain according to some poskim. We're going to make a mezonos on the rice, and then we're going to address the scotch. We're going to address the scotch. The Gemara tells us that a child only begins to call Abba, only begins to call Father when they taste Tam Dagon, when they taste grain, when they taste wheat, when they taste grain. Child always knows with Hashem who their mother is, but until they have the gastronomic maturity, the palate of wheat, that's another story. First, I'll make a bracha and I'll share with you something. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech olam, borei pri hagafen. It's fascinating, this idea of tam dagon, of tasting wheat, and then recognizing their father. Of course, everything, as we say, is du mashmuti. There's two phrases, two ideas, two concepts chained together with it. Not just recognizing your biological father, but also a person recognizes their father in heaven. That's why it's no mistake that the original emergence of intellect, according to Kabbalah, is when we eat matzah. Matzah is the idea of refined intellect throughout the entire year. If you read the plays, the matzah was here for the last couple of weeks. It wasn't just like industrial lights and lights and sounds. It wasn't just like George Lucas before. We're looking for the light show, the sound show, the miracle show. We're looking, each play was to point our finger back at the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to know God. The point wasn't as much just the magic in it, the miraculous in it, but it was to point our finger at the one who wrote the laws of nature and can play with him as he needs, as he wants. Because if you just had the ten utterances of the world, if you just had Bracious, just had, as Einstein put it, God's mind of science, then you would think, oh, this is divine law, it's immutable. That these are constants. And the plagues say, well, unless God says so. Normally all of the scientific law proven it happens over and over and over again. It will happen over and over and over again. But then things can change. And that idea that things can change points our finger at the mess of the world. So we eat matzah to say, hey, he's the one calling the shots. He's the one who has a destiny for us. Matzah directs our finger back at the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That says we need to know him. So again, it should make nobody that should surprise nobody. According to the Gemara, another one of the possibilities, what the tree of knowledge of good and evil was wheat. Right? Because wheat has that ability. The idea of chametz, and I know I'm getting ahead of myself, my mom would say, I'm in trouble for bringing up the P word. She says, don't bring up Passover, but it's 60 days from tonight, 30 days till Purim. By the way, cute remez. Haman, the Gemara Kulin says, how do you know that Haman from the Torah? It says, Hamin ha'etz, did you eat from this tree? Eat from this tree? That's super shvat. So, pretty funny. So then, 30 days from that, from Pesach, 30 days after Purim, is Pesach. One of your other funny remez is that in the sugya of mitzvahs, trichos kavanah, the question of, do I have to have intent when I do mitzvahs? It says that what happens if a bunch of Persians come and force feed you matzah? Bunch of Persians specifically, those are the people in Purim, but as the Persians force feed you matzah, that you feel the imminence of Passover on the day of Purim. Purim is all about the Persians. And you're thinking all about that, we're already thinking about matzah. What happens if the Persians force feed you matzah? So 60 days from tonight, what's chametz? Chametz is when a dough takes on a mind of its own. You don't remember that, the children's book when the dough covered the whole kitchen, right, and took over the world like a blob? Which probably was a Cold War story about communist aggression, but sorry to spoil that. But the idea of the dough takes over everything, right? As opposed to matzah just staying where it is. Matzah is this awareness that doesn't sour, that doesn't spoil, that doesn't go bad. So as we eat the sushi, it's standing for some actual mazonos, and I can't see the zonos on a little bit of scotch because it's my focus whether or not this is really grain or it's actually just spoiled grain. That's a better word, I'm forgetting the word right now. So we can't say it, but we're thinking about it as we're looking at the scotch. We're thinking about the leaf, and we're thinking about putting it back together to remind ourselves to point our finger above. Remember to call Abba. And to connect ourselves with the one above, because that's what Tu B'Shvat is really all about. Hi.
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 All right. Woo! All right.
Woo! Oh, yeah. I shared with the Chevra this morning, but since we're not the full minion of the Chevra this morning, so we can share it again, because it was really, really kedai. Piece of Torah. So much of Yiddishkeit, so much of Judaism is listening, is paying attention. Like I've said several times, in fact, really the entire thing that I've been speaking about the entire night has been listening and paying attention. listening, paying attention, lakshiv, hasamat lev, getting there. So as I was listening to Laning yesterday, all of a sudden a detail jumped out at me. There's a story at the end of Parshas Beshalach, which always precedes Tu B'Shvat. After the splitting of the sea, all of a sudden, they're out of water and the people began to kvetch. With the same problem here this morning. I had no water. We all got to kvetch. Baruch Hashem, we were able to fix it. We have water. BH. You feel a little bit like Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, we should get water. Where is there water? You know, I didn't have to hit any rocks or anything like that to make it happen here. They don't have water. They go to Moshe. They come to a place. They call it Mara because the water is there so bitter that you can't drink the water. Then all of a sudden, Hashem shows Moshe Rabbeinu a tree. Rosh Hashanah le'ilan. Rosh Hashanah of all the trees is today's Tu B'Shvat, the parsha that comes right before Tu B'Shvat, like that we read within 24 hours. What did you give? Okay, fine, 26 hours. It's talking about a tree. And what do they do with this tree? It's this bitter tree. They throw it in the water. And then the water becomes sweet. Now, it's pretty funny. The Ramban already says it's funny. You take a bitter tree, you throw it in bitter waters, it becomes sweet. What is that? Something very, very powerful. The doubling, he says. The Midrash starts to fight. What is this bitter tree? What type of wood is it? It gives a bunch of different options. Ishbitzer Rebbe says, what do we care? What do we really care about what type of tree it is? You know, it worked. That's the key. So then the Ishbitzer says, the Beis Yankov, he says, because if you can know everything in its source, then you can sweeten the bitterness in the world. If you know where it's coming from, and this is the whole underlying chachma of psychotherapy. If you can get to what's at the bottom of it, you can start to heal the bitterness, start to sweeten the bitterness. It doesn't mean it goes away, but you start to learn how to carry it. You sweeten the bitterness.
Was it an
olive tree. There's one and the other tree I don't know. I don't know how to translate the other word. There's a bitter tree. But once I can find the root of it, I can sweeten the bitterness. And the introduction to the Zohar, the Hakdama, the introduction to the Zohar says, if you want to come and learn in this academy, you want to come and learn over here, you have to know two things. Not what's pshat in Daf Ayin in the Tosfos over there in Maseches Yevamos. Can you name all 39 Malachos? What's the entrance exam? To get into the academy of Mashiach, can you make the darkness light? Can you make the bitter sweet? So the parsha on Erev Tu B'Shvat, Beshalach, we're learning about a tree, and if we know where the tree comes from, if we can get to the root, pun intended, I am a rabbi, you know, the root of the tree, we can sweeten the bitterness. That knowledge. And if we can get to the root, we can sweeten all the bitterness. The point of this time of Tu B'Shvat, as we return the fruits to the trees, we go back to the source. Remember the source of everything. We can sweeten the bitterness. Doesn't mean that it makes it go away. It means that it makes it easier to carry. It means that we learn to be able to carry just a little bit easier. It's the biggest sweetening that we can do. The most powerful thing that we can do is to sweeten the bitterness. And it's all in the tree. And it's the Rosh Hashanah Lilan. This is the Rosh Hashanah of doing all of that. This is the headquarters, the beginning in our year. In a time, definitely in Chutz La'aretz, we don't see it. We don't see any trees starting to bloom. In Eretz Yisrael, you see the trees start to bloom. But here, it's the middle of the winter. But we know inside the tree something is happening. Inside the tree, the sap is rising. At the heart of it, if we can know the root, we can sweeten everything. I give you and me the bracha to be able to sweeten the bitterness, to be able to carry it, to look to our friends, to help them to do the same, to carry whatever their peckle is, a good word, a kind deed. We don't know the effects, like we said. If everybody is doing their best, and you can help, it makes it just a little bit better. That's Hashem. That's Hashem. We should be zaycha. We should merit to sweeten all the bitterness that's in the world. Until the day where we return to our Dhamma, we return back to our land, where we're taken. So we remember where our root is as well. That's Hashem. In the place of a bracha achrona, I just want to. The place of a bracha achrona, I want to just learn with you for a minute the bracha achrona, and in it you'll see everything that we spoke about tonight. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Kadosh Baruch Hu, praised are you. You are the source of all blessing, King, Master of the entire universe, of all reality. Regarding the tree and the fruits of the tree and the produce of the field and the most desirable land that is wide and great and beautiful, and you inherited to our forefathers and foremothers to eat from its fruits and to be satisfied from its goodness. Right, the whole of it. He brought us to the land of Eretz Yisrael. We have a thing called Bikurim that Hashem promised us, and He said that the blessing will bear fruit. Again, pun intended, I'm a rabbi. The blessings will bear fruit. And we should eat from its blessings. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, have mercy on us, on the Jewish people, and on Jerusalem, your holy city. And on the holy mountain, the place of your Shechinah's presence, it's Mizbeach, the altar, and the Heichal, the antechamber where it is. Build Jerusalem, your holy city, very, very soon in our days, and allow us to ascend to it. We will rejoice in this building, and we will praise you when we eat from it. We eat from the fruits in Kedusha, in holiness, and in Tahara, whatever that means. It's another story. Because you're good. You do good to all. And we thank you, Hashem, for the land, its fruits. Blessed are you, Hashem, you're a source of all blessing for the land and for its fruits. Right? You think about it. Why do we say this blessing? I had some grapes. I had some wine, so that's the blessing I'm going to make. But I wouldn't interrupt with the English. I say all these that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you promise us the land of Israel. And you promise us that this is going to bear fruit. That we're going to enjoy the land of Israel. Walk in the Shuk today, right? Walk in the Shuk today. Today, go to Machane Yehuda. Go to Supersal even. but walk in there and see all the fruit. And see Kadosh Baruch Hu's blessing. His blessing to us. And even when we're in Chutz La'aretz, we go, we can't eat a couple of grapes without remembering Eretz Yisrael. Without remembering the Har Habayis. Without remembering Yerushalayim. It's where we're connected to, the place where we're from. That's a fascinating thing. So on Tu Bishvat, again, New Year of the trees, and the trees that bear fruit, the fruit that's beginning, the sap that's beginning to rise, the blessings, we return the fruit to the tree. It's all started with a tree and some fruit. It all ends, as it were, with the fruit and the trees again. Open parentheses, close parentheses. Right? The beginning of the chapter, the end of the chapter. That's what Bikurim is all about. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you blessed us. I told you on Tisha B'Av, and I'll say it again, that Rav Weinberger told us, I don't remember when, maybe it was Tu B'Shvat, maybe it was Tisha B'Av, that when the Rav of his father's town in Ungvar, in Hungary, so there was a rich Jew went to Eretz Yisrael and came back with fruit. The Rav called the entire town together, and he sat on the bima, crying, holding the fruit from Eretz Yisrael. We don't have to wait so long. We don't have to wait so far. It's Hashem. We should merit to do what it says in the bracha very, very soon. To eat from the fruits of the land. All of the land, but especially the land of Israel. Especially the land of Israel. Especially Har Habayis. especially in Yerushalayim. Mitzvah Hashem, we should see that day. This is in the place of Bracha Achrona. Mitzvah Hashem, we should all have gezunt. We should have health and oisher and have what we need. And Mitzvah Hashem, and the strength to help each other out. And there should be a good gebench dior for us and for the trees and for the entire world. Kol Tov.